It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for making us part of it. Check 1, 2. This is Shepherd Lost Sheep. Come in, Lost Sheep.
Lost Sheep here. How's it going there, leader?
Man, doing terrific. Brian brought us.
Yeah.
Live from the tennis courts in Oxnard, California. Brought to us by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
Yes,
from
sir.
From grain to glass. What do you know, buddy?
I'm doing well, boys. Thank you. They're finishing up the practice. They're running the two-minute period, but we had plenty of work before that we can get into for sure. So, it was kind of an interesting day. I think a little bit of a – and I'm not trying to ride the fence on this. I think it was a little bit of a mixed bag overall. Offensively, I don't think the Cowboys look particularly great today. They're having problems. The left tackle spot today with Verse – that they were dealing with today was not where they needed to be. And, uh-oh, you know, that's rookie on rookie right there. And then they've also suffered some injuries along the way, mm-hmm, and backup guys are having to play, and, you know, versus rushing the passer. Versus doing to the offense what Micah Parsons is doing to the Rams. You know, Micah, they really don't have a great answer for Micah Parsons either over on the other field. But today I would say when you sit down and watch the tape for this Cowboys offense, I would say it's not particularly something that you would be really, really proud to say I was a part of.
Mm. Oh, man. Well, we talked an hour ago and said if we could snap our fingers and make one thing come true,
yeah,
it would be good play from the rookie offensive lineman. Sounds like that did not come together. And I saw the defensive tackle Albert Huggins knock down a member of the Rams staff.
He did.
Kind of shoved him. Did you witness that?
Yeah, that was during the one-on-one period. I was doing I was on the other end.
Okay.
I was working on Cowboys offense is what I was working on their one-on-one side. And then it was on the opposite field of me, and I was talking with Nick Harris about it. Matter of fact, he has the video. I guess everybody's kind of seen the clip.
Yeah,
but that, you know, that's uncalled for. Matter of fact, we were moving on to the next drill, and Tank was talking to Huggins and said, "Hey, are you good?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, they kicked me out of practice."
Yeah.
And Tank just kept walking like, "Okay, well, you know, that's a way to kind of not do what you're supposed to do." But yeah, that's unfortunate right there. You know, everybody's here trying to kind of protect each other, and you know, matter of fact, hell, there was a couple of times that some of these Rams secondary guys, I mean, Cam Curl could have just laid out, you know, Cooks in the back of the end zone on the red zone period. I mean, just he could have just lit him up, and you know, he pulled off, and you know, and you know, it was an incomplete pass. But yeah, if it was a game, you know, damn right he's going to light him up. But you're out here trying to work with each other and trying to help each other, and here's a poor guy. You know, he's probably the equipment guy. He's just trying to, you know, try and take a snap and be part of the drill, and he gets dumped by a guy that had a horse-esque game the other day.
Sure
so,
did.
You know,
yeah.
So
I mean,
that's
honestly, he's probably a player that should just be cut tonight.
I'd rather play 10. After
yeah,
watching
that
the
that
other
was
night.
That. You know, that's you just like I said. That's uncalled for. You know, the guy's just he's doing his job. He's asking to take the snap. You know, hold the ball and then keep taking snaps as the drill's going on, and then you dump him. You know, and that's the unfortunate thing.
Well, rest assured, we're gonna give him Huggins bleep hole of the week. Okay.
He might deserve that. But man, they've got some things happen today injury wise. This is going to be a busy day for me after our show trying to rustle up some injury information here.
Our show.
I'm a guest on your show. I forgot. I talked about it with the morning show. I told him I'm a guest with everybody's show at this training camp. Something happened, and I need to check with Overshone. Something happened with Overshone. So Nick's thinking it might be a hip. Nick Harris might be thinking it's a hip. But yeah, they're still in the practice field, so all my guys are still doing work, and hopefully I'll have some updates for everybody here a little bit later.
We're going to give Tolos a chance to ask you questions about the roster, about
I'd
what
love
you've
that.
Witnessed here.
I'd
ask
love
Brian
that.
Anything coming up in about 15 minutes, and then Krusty's Corner itself coming up at 3:40 here. It's time now for Woolchuck's NFL News of the Day, buddy.
Well, I mean, the injuries have been really the story so far. The big news, we talked about this with KNC, J.J. McCarthy, the Vikings' first-round pick, underwent a full meniscus repair this morning. He's going to be out for the 2024 season. The repair was done by Dr. Chris Larson in the Twin Cities. They say it's going to give him the best chance at a long, successful career. So that's why they went ahead and did this. But it'll be Sam Darnold who will be the starting quarterback now for the Minnesota Vikings. And then another bad moment at practice as Jordan Addison, their outstanding second-year receiver, former USC Trojan, was carted off the field with a leg injury. Still not sure the severity of that one, but a rough day for Viking fans. You lose your first-round quarterback for the season, and hopefully Jordan Addison, that is not a serious injury. And then there was also Juwan Taylor, starting tackle of the Kansas City Chiefs, suffered a shoulder injury today. He also got carted off, but I guess with the shoulder, now the Chiefs got good positive news on that. They said they're not overly concerned right now. So hopefully he's okay moving forward. I know we got, we're getting close to fantasy football season. You might want to take a close look at Alvin Kamara, all right, if you're out there drafting. He left practice with a back injury. And those backs.
He's getting old.
My goodness gracious. He's getting older. We know how quickly the wall, all of a sudden you just fall off a cliff at the running back position. And now if you're dealing with a back injury, that makes me a little bit nervous if you were going to be drafting Alvin Kamara in your fantasy football teams. And then good news for Mark Andrews. He got in a car crash. He is okay. Medical staff at the facility evaluated him, and he was scheduled for a non-practice day anyway, so he didn't practice, but he did get in a car accident heading to the team facility, but could have been much worse. Thank goodness Mark Andrews, one of the best young tight ends in the sport, is okay. So my gosh, it's just one of those things where you're like, you're holding your breath every moment. It just seems like there's bad injury news coming out in the NFL today.
Yeah, that's the worst part of training camp. I mean, you're always just constantly, please don't give me the news that one of my players is injured. No. Please don't give me the news that one of my... I mean, the Vikings right now, are you kidding
that
me,
hurts,
dude?
That hurts, man.
They've had a bunch of injuries, even before the ones from today, like with McCarthy and Addison. They've had some corners go down for the season.
Yeah, they're struggling. They're struggling at corner. I talked to one of their guys because I was interested in the Booth trade and, you know, what they saw in our guy and what we can see from their guy. And they were saying, hey, our corner situation is just really, really bad. And so a lot of that has to do with some of the injuries they've dealt with as well.
Yeah, it could be a landing spot for Stephon Gilmore. He's going there. He's going to take a visit to Minnesota. So that might be where he ends up. We've talked a lot about Brandon Ayuk, and the report today is that the 49ers want to keep him. But the Steelers, we do know, have a trade in place. We'll see if the Niners are able to get a deal done. I also saw some reports like him and Kyle Shanahan kind of got into it a little bit. I never really know where the truth is with some of this stuff with the Ayuk reports. But, man, we'll see. I mean, if I were him and I had the opportunity, I'd probably stay in San Francisco if the money is close. If not, we talked about it yesterday. My goodness, the cost of living there in California compared to Pittsburgh. Maybe I will just go to Pittsburgh and play with Mike Tomlin, which is why he wants to go there. He loves himself some Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, very significant.
Can I say something here about that? I was talking to some guys in San Francisco, and they were telling me they're getting really tired of this. They're tired. They want something done one way or another. Either get it done or get him traded. I mean, that's, you know, they're kind of in that mode right now of like, hey, we're trying to build our team. We're trying to figure some things out. They're not sure if he's coming back, but there's a lot of tired folk that just want this thing done one way or another.
Yeah, and they still got the Trent Williams thing looming over them. They've had a bunch of injuries at camp. I can understand the frustration there in San Francisco. Man, how about Browns linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah gets himself the bag today. Second-round pick.
Good player.
Really good player. And he was kind of that tweener, like safety linebacker at Notre Dame, but he's been one of the best linebackers in the league since he was drafted, was just named to the Pro Bowl, set career marks this year when it came to tackles and sacks. He's only 24 years old, gets a three-year extension worth up to $39 million. So still some money being thrown around there at this point in the offseason. And some breakout candidates. I saw CBS Sports come out with an article in the NFC East. And I guess this we'll have to, you know, see with this Marvin Overshown hip or whatever is going on with him. But they listed him as your Dallas Cowboy that's set to break out, DeMarvian Overshown. And I think that's a popular pick. I think we are all very excited about his potential this season.
No, absolutely. You know, for him to be out there, the practice in the way is. But, we're going to have to get – I've reached out, and hopefully when practice over, maybe by the time our show's over, we'll have an update on really where they're at there. But, man, he's had a pretty good camp. You know, when they've asked him to do some things and, you know, play with him and Clark, they've looked pretty good as a pair playing at linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, that linebacker room just has you it just looks so much different when you actually have capable linebackers out there, and the Cowboys did a good job this offseason.
Or real linebackers. How about that?
Right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're not playing safety as a linebacker.
Bell did a hell of a job, and Bell's a good player. But, you know, I mean, they've got guys that – man, their room looks a lot better. It's a room that's got some athletic ability to it. It's got guys that can cover, play downhill. I mean, they did it. They went from being like bad at it to being really good at it.
This was a story I wasn't familiar with, but I guess Eagles Cowboys this year is going to be in November on CBS. Now, obviously, these games are usually either Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, or Fox owns the NFC package. But since the 1993 season, CBS has not had an Eagles or Cowboys game. Jim Nance was the play-by-play announcer last time Eagles-Cowboys aired on the network. He was talking today on CBS, said he had a funny story about that. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, all of a sudden, Mr. Jones sticks his head into the room. He points to me as I walk out, and he says to me, "You know what's going on with these TV negotiations? I don't know what he's talking about." He says, "You're going to lose the NFL if you're not careful." Then I realized he was sending a message for me to take back to New York. "You guys better get this together because Fox is coming on big time." When I was a kid growing up, October 30th, we called it Mischief Night. So I didn't know what kind of mischief Jerry Jones was up to, what kind of hijinks he was up to, but I think he's serious. I get on the phone with the hierarchy of CBS, and I just want you to know, I say, "Jerry Jones singled me out of a meeting and basically said, we're in trouble. I'm just the messenger here." Sure enough, month and a half later, we lose the NFL to Fox. And now it's come full circle. As Romo and Nance, 11,333 days since that game, will have Eagles-Cowboys on CBS, and Nance is pumped, Romo's pumped, and honestly, I think the CBS broadcast is great. I mean, we won't be watching it, we'll be at the stadium covering the game, but I think this is awesome for Nance and Romo and CBS to go ahead and get themselves some Eagles Cowboys.
You know, the only thing that I don't like is the Thursday night. What was that? The Amazon crew.
Not a fan of them.
Crew that I was like, man, this just doesn't work. Anything else is fine.
Kurt Herbstreit doing those games.
It's Herbie and Al Michaels. And Al Michaels last year just seemed so checked out.
Yeah, he's been checked out for a little bit.
But I don't blame him. Those games
$15 million doing that, and he's checked out.
Yeah,
man,
and the games aren't any good. I mean, you're used to doing NBC Sunday Night Football. I get the best game every week. Now I'm doing Jags, Browns, or whatever the heck they're putting on there, Titans and Texans. I don't know. CBS is bringing back the Nickelodeon
games. Pretty good games there, what you just mentioned.
Yeah, we'll see. The Thursday night games never end
Titans,
up being
Titans, Texans,
good.
That sounds all right.
Titans, Texans could be, because you're a Will Levis guy in that mayonnaise.
Yeah, I love Will Levis. You know that. Yeah.
The Nickelodeon games are returning to CBS. I guess this has been a hit for them. They've had this for the last couple of years. First wild card game was that Cowboys-Niners game a few years ago. We know how that one ended.
That was a bunch of slime.
I mean, I guess Maya is getting to the age now, Eric, where like maybe she'd be into watching a football game on Nickelodeon with the slime and everything. 877-881-1053, if you have anybody that like your kids love this. I don't know. Like, I know the simulcast, something that the kids are really tuning into. They're super pumped about this with Nickelodeon.
No, but my kids do love slime.
It is fun. There's something about the slime.
The older one grew out of it. The younger one's just realizing it. I'm trying to institute a slime ban in the house.
Yeah.
And
they just sliming each other.
I've done that before.
Wife brought some home. It makes a mess in everything.
It does, dude.
Do they still have silly string, boys?
Yeah,
do they still
absolutely.
Do that?
We had a silly string.
Okay, that's
party.
kind of a safe thing to do. Yeah, silly string.
Just bust out the silly string.
Yeah, it cleans up much better than slime.
It cleans up much better than slime.
So they're making homemade slime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they get this slime and then they just start sliming everything, dude. You know, the other one that causes big messes. It's cool and I like it. But disaster from the cleanup standpoint is the kinetic sand.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, I can see that.
That kinetic sand, it's like this sort of like magnet sort of sand that stays together and it's super malleable. You make all these awesome things. It gets stickier than like regular sand would. But it just gets every. It's really, you can't contain it.
Nope.
We got Colin Kaepernick back in the news. Jim Harbaugh.
Coach him up.
Has offered him a job to come and join the Chargers staff there. So I think Kaepernick's still holding out hope. A team brings him in. He wants to play.
Quarterback coach? Or?
He's just going to join the staff. He said, "We've talked about it. He's considering it. He was out of the country. He said he was going to get back to me. We've reconnected since then." So if it's the route that he wants to take, he thinks he'd be a tremendous coach if that's the path that he chooses.
Is he 36 now? How old is he? 36? 34? Yeah,
it's been 8 years, I think, since he's been in the league.
Yeah.
Were they together in Nevada?
Yeah, they were. No, San Francisco.
Yeah.
They went to the Super Bowl together.
All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3.
Really?
The Fan. Brian's Super Bowl, Brian's training camp coverage brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey from grain to glass. And it's time now for an Ask Brian Anything. The Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open at 877-881-1053. And we're back with your questions for Broadus here in the G-Back Nation. Shoot, yeah, welcome back. It's time now for an Ask Brian Anything at 877-881-1053. His training camp coverage in Oxnard, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey from grain to glass. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kid. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Okay, let's start it off with something light. Can Brian tell me the best meat for some good Texas chili?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, when I look at things when it comes to, I always like to grind my own meat when, you know, and like I said, really? To me, you could take brisket and you could also take like steak and put it together. But I think that anything with really some high fat content, I know everybody talks about 80-20. Yeah, I'm kind of like, yeah, people do not want to grind steaks. But I'm totally okay with it. But I think brisket does really, really well, too, myself.
Do you think anybody in the NFL would give anything for Trey Lance right now if the Cowboys tried to move him, Brian? How did he do today?
You know, it wasn't anything spectacular from Trey Lance today. I don't feel like that, you know, people would probably not offer anything for Trey Lance, would be my guess.
Okay.
But, you know, that's because of the contract situation. I just don't see Dallas not keeping him on the roster because of the guaranteed money he has. Hmm. You know, I don't see them like getting rid of him and all of a sudden they've got to pay $5 million, you know? So I kind of feel like that he's going to be on this roster.
How'd Cooper Beebe do?
Cooper Beebe was fine today. There were a couple of different times where he was actually running with the ones and that when they asked him to the one-on-one stuff, I thought he was pretty good at. There were a couple of times where in the run game stuff where he had to get his head across and get his man, kind of try and cut his man off, he was able to do that. So I think the snaps looked fine. I think overall that was a pretty positive step in the right direction for him.
Okay, the 214 says, I want to question what Broadus says about Guyton verse, because apparently he was looking at a pancake block and some other good reps from Guyton today against the Rams pass rush. What would you say to that challenge, Brian?
Well, I'll tell you what, early in the practice, and again, I'm on two different fields, okay? And so the early part of practice, when they went team move the ball, he got whiffed like two times is what I saw. And then it was another time they ran around. Now, I get to watch the tape again tonight and kind of figure that out. But Verse had a damn good day. I'll challenge you on that. But the thing with Guyton, I saw there were two different times, and Guyton didn't finish the practice. And that's what I've got to try and figure out here.
Oh,
what happened.
Wow.
What happened, because they were running. Now, maybe it's a situation that they, you know, he was kind of got a little wore down because of the sickness and stuff like that, or what he was dealing with. But I the early part of that practice, that Guyton was having his troubles with Verse.
Yeah, it's just a few of the clips that have come out, which is all we can really consume. But it did look like he got him. But Verse was talking out there. It seemed like Verse was chirping, and Guyton ends up pancaking him a couple of times. But against Josh Ball, Verse was working him. Josh Ball did not stand a chance in some of these drills, it looked like.
Yeah, they were. The thing with Verse is he's so long and such a good athlete that he can put problems. I mean, he could create pressure. And there was times, like I say, in the practice where I was watching it and I'm going, okay, you've got to just set better. You've got to try and find in the running game. They tried to run the ball to his side. And, you know, that Verse was able to kind of control the block and then make the play. Watching him practice, I should have graded him higher, to be honest with you. First round grade on the guy. But I think he got picked 17th overall.
Yeah.
He's a much better player than that. He's going to be a problem in this league.
Why Guyton and not Tyler Smith at left tackle as the 4-6-9? I think that's just because Smith's so great at guard, and that's kind of how the draft fell to him, right?
Right. That's exactly how it is. Yep.
Okay. Have you seen enough to get a feeling on could the defense be better this year than it was because of their schematic changes, playing a little bit safer?
Defense could be better if there's a couple things. And Diggs got to practice today, which I thought was a good thing. You know, he had an interception late in the practice. There were a couple of times where he got carried on routes up the field and across that he was able to cover. Mm-hmm. How they play at corner, I think, is going to tell you a lot. The safety, the linebacker play. We always keep talking about the defensive tackles. That's something that I think to me that's going to be the biggest question mark. They've got to figure out that rotation. They've got to figure out if Mozzie Smith can actually play. That's something that they have to figure out. I mean, Osa, the backups, whatever happens at one technique, I think will dictate. There's probably a couple of different areas that they're looking at. I would say they're probably looking at the defensive tackle spot. They're looking at the edge, potentially. And then now they're going to have to look at some offensive tackles because some of their guys are banged up and they don't have the depth there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thin group there, defensive tackle and offensive tackle. Twolos want to know about the linebackers, how the linebacking group look.
Linebackers were fine today. It was a much better day for Leofau. There were a couple of times when they tried to run the ball on him where he was where he needed to be. He wasn't guessing on some of the reps like he was in the game. But I'm trying to figure out while I was talking to him, trying to figure out with the deal with Overshown. I'm hearing it's a bruise.
Yes.
But I'm trying to see. Did someone report it already what it is?
No. I'm just
but
really
we'll it's a bruise. It's a bruise, yeah. And I'm trying to figure out if it is exactly a hip bruise. And so here I am. I'm sorry, I'm trying to kind of do three things at once here. But yeah, the linebackers overall I felt like played a little bit better today than what we saw, especially the backup linebackers I thought were a little bit better today. I did notice Buddy Johnson, the linebacker, number 57, a couple of different times. They tried to run the ball to the outside, and he was able to get outside and make a play. That they were a little bit more active, and especially, like I say, I was trying to keep an eye on Leofau and seeing how he was going to play.
Kendricks compared to Leighton Vander Esch, did we get an upgrade there? Still young enough to be awesome?
Well, you've got to, like I say, the thing, they're both guys that tackle really, really well. Yeah. That's the thing. I think if you ask me who plays better in pass coverage, I would probably say that it's probably Kendricks is where I would guess. But, yeah, there's so much uncertainty with the injury history there with Leighton Vander Esch that you were like, well, you just never know what play he's going to go out on. But, yeah, he's now he's retired and all that. You got a guy, I think, that the way that Kendricks gets the ball, the way he plays pass defense, I think you got a little bit better there.
Curious about the pass catchers today. Anybody stand out to you?
No, not at all.
How about
did they stand out in a bad way?
Well, to me, like I said, the offense didn't really move the ball today. They had troubles with the Rams, like with when the portions I was watching, and there was a couple of different times that Dak was under pressure the whole day today.
Okay.
So he was constantly moving and constantly having to throw.
Were they bringing heat?
It was just normal pass rush.
Wow.
It was normal pass rush. And I was surprised of how, like, when they practiced last time against the Rams, they were able to set the pocket and make some throws.
Mm-hmm.
Today, they didn't get that job done. They didn't do a very good job of handling the front of the Rams. I mean, you could watch, like I say, if you're watching the practices and watching the clip, you could see Dak is constantly on the move. There was a couple of times he tried to throw the ball. He couldn't get the ball to Brooks. You know, they were trying to get down in the red zone. They were working in the red zone. He was constantly on the move, you know, and he couldn't get the ball to Cooks. You know, had to throw the ball throw it away a couple of different times. I didn't think it was just particularly a very good offensive day overall.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I can't sit there and say, Billy Johnson had a really good day today. Oh, Brooks had a really good day today. I didn't feel like the offense was very good at all, and I guarantee you when they watch the tape, they're going to see that.
Yeah, that certainly sucks. I mean, we can't be super surprised when we have that at the top of our list coming into training camp and into the season. How good can your offensive line be?
Yeah.
And it sucks that they have like an entire practice where they're basically getting bullied.
Well, the left side, because what happens is you've got Bass in there playing for Martin. You got a rookie that's playing at left tackle.
Yeah.
And you got a rookie that's playing at center. So, yeah, it's going to – and then Steele occasionally breaks down. So, yeah, I mean, it was one of those practices where I didn't – they moved the ball. I didn't see Cowboys moving the ball today. That's what I didn't see.
Yeah, you see like BB looks like he's holding on, making a good block, and then Bass gets run over on a clip here. And as soon as Guyton comes out, it just seems like practice is completely ruined because Bass can't hold up, Bostic can't hold up, then he gets hurt.
Yeah.
And I guess Nick Harris is reporting that according to Stephen Jones, they are bringing in an offensive tackle, Cole Cabral, who is of Arizona State. He's played 1 year, I think, spent time with the Cardinals. But they just need some bodies right now at tackle. I mean, they've really got no depth with Chuma Adoga hurt behind Tyler Guyton.
I got to figure out why Guyton came out of the game. And, because like you said, at the very end, they even tried to put Awesome Richards out there at tackle. He got beat a couple of different times. Then they tried Bostic. Then he got hurt. So, yeah, today was a train wreck for this offense.
Okay, the 214 asks, is there any status on getting defensive tackle help? And I want to ask you if you think it's possible that they release Huggins after he threw this Rams coach down.
I don't know if they'll release him, but there's three positions that I'm kind of looking at. I still believe, the running back situation, you got Deuce Vaughn. Actually, Deuce Vaughn today had a good blitz pickup. One of the few plays down in the red zone where they actually had some success. But, yeah, the running back room is something I'm looking at. The defensive tackle room is something I'm looking at right now. And maybe even the edge, depending on what happens with, they're trying to move now. Fajoco's now playing as an end. They're also trying Golston as an end. So they might be hunting. They're clearly going to be hunting defensive tackles and maybe even defensive ends here. At the waiver wire. So, we'll see how that goes forward.
All righty, sir. We're coming back with Krusty's Corner. What do you have on tap for us?
Yeah, I'm going to talk some more about this practice if we could, and we'll do that next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. I just saw Country Wayne was at practice. They did a skit with DeMarcus Lawrence, Trayvon Diggs, and Tyler Smith. So look out for that on your favorite social media platforms. It's time now for Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus, live in Oxnard, California. Krusty's Corner is brought to you by our friends at Dallas College. Your future begins here. And our continued camp coverage with Broaddus and Oxnard brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. From grain to glass, here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Yeah, a lot of people going after me about this whole thing with Guyton.
Yeah.
But I went back and looked at my notes. And the first period of the day, we got swum for a sack. We got a holding call against us, and we got broken down by him again. So I had three straight plays where I know the practice, practice started that Verse was able to get. I just saw a clip. I was not there for the one-on-one stuff. I was at the other end of the field on that one. But yeah, to me, like I said, I was expecting a lot more with that matchup, and early in that matchup, it wasn't good. And so,
yeah, I think the thing at tackle is you're not going to be judged for your greatest snaps. Awesome, you had a couple of pancakes. You're going to be judged by how often does it go bad, and sounds like it went bad three times in a row.
Well, also, if it started badly, Brian, but he ends up bouncing back, like maybe.
Yeah, I got to figure out. Like I said, I got to figure out why at the end of practice he wasn't out there, because then Bostic was running with the ones. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And so they're not going to have a chance with that.
Yeah, they're not going to have a chance with that. But overall, though, the offense today, and I'll go back and study it, and when we talk tomorrow, I'm sure I'll have a better, even a clearer understanding of what goes on. I didn't feel like the offense moved the ball particularly well today. I didn't think anybody got open. I didn't feel like that they particularly protected well. I don't feel like they particularly ran the ball very well today. I thought overall just it was a lot of flopping around and a lot of consistency to it. And so to me, that was kind of a disappointing day. Kind of felt like that maybe this offense, you know, would find a way to, you know, they, last time they did have some success running the football. They obviously tried to do it today. They really couldn't do anything running the ball. The linebackers for the Rams were in good shape. Their corners stuff. Everybody. I thought it was a good day for them. If I was working, you know, covering the Rams, I would say Rams had a good day on defense playing against the Dallas Cowboys. I just, because they didn't have guys that were getting open. They didn't have, you know, when you watch the red zone period, and go back and watch, like at the post practice, we did training camp live. We did the one-on-one stuff, but we also did the red zone period.
Ooh, sweet.
Watch the red zone period and tell me if you think that anybody was really, really open or anything, or there was anything really good. The blitz pickup that Deuce Vaughn had actually was probably one of the better plays they had there down in the red zone. Other than that, Dak was running for his life trying to throw the football, you know. So we filmed that whole practice down there and watching that, and I was surprised at how bad things were for the Cowboys. And then, like I said, initially, you know, with Guyton, I mean, and hey, it's no shame getting beat by Verse, but you know, they took Guyton out and they put 76 in there. They put
Richards
in there, and Richards got beat. You know, so be careful with the clips, guys and gals.
Yeah, because
the clips
with Guyton are all good. Like the one-on-ones, Guyton's winning versus Verse. There was a clip of Deuce getting a chip on Verse. Guyton pancakes him. So just from the clips, it looks like Guyton had a good day.
Be careful with those clips, because to me, and I love the clips. I appreciate people post them and stuff like that. But they're running play after play after play after play. You know, so you know if you want to say, well, that clip looked good, yeah. There are occasionally some good plays, but they did. Dallas's offense did not have enough good plays today. That's from my vantage point of watching them and then being with them the whole entire time down in the red zone. You know, I just felt like that they really didn't have any. You know, Dallas will do some things scheme wise and get guys open, and they just didn't handle the pressure up front very well down in the red zone. They just didn't. Dak was having to move. He had to try and force the ball one time. You know, they didn't have the seam routes that they normally have. Rams did a good job of covering that up. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, though, what I was able to see, though, it was good to see Diggs back out there covering. You know, that was something that I was glad to see him involved, because he's one of those, you know, they're going to need him. They're going to need him to be that type of player again. If this, you know, Dawson asked me about, is the defense going to be better? It's going to be better if you get Diggs and Bland and these safeties all playing pretty well in coverage. And they did a pretty good job of Diggs, his first extensive work with the defense. I mentioned him, you know, running on the route, covering the route inside. That's one of my favorite things when you start to talk about evaluating cornerbacks. Hey, can a guy carry a route inside? Can he cut a guy off from going inside? Absolutely. That was good. And then also the ball going up the field. Diggs, one time they kind of tried to stutter go him a little bit. He was able to adjust and then burst and then carry the route up the field. Later in the practice, he had an interception as well. Ball was thrown short. He went up high pointed. So good for him. I mentioned the whole thing with how Micah Parsons. They didn't have an answer for Micah Parsons on that side of the ball today. The Rams really didn't. It didn't matter if it was play away or play at. He was going to make that. He was making plays. They tried to run the ball at him a couple of different times. He just discarded his blocker and then was able to make the play right at the point of attack there. So that was pretty good right there. So, you know, if you're talking about the defensive guys, you know, Nealon, I think Nealon, you know, people are asking me, hey, Nealon, Golston, right in. Give me Nealon. You know, I think with Nealon, they're going to continue to work with him. He's going to be a good pass rusher. But the fact that he plays the run the way he does, I think is something that this team really, really can benefit from. And maybe play the run better than what they would have had with Sam Williams in there playing the run. So those are some of the things that I was really kind of looking at today.
That's good. That's good, and that's big time. I mean, you want those edge setters. I do have – I mean, I feel like you can manufacture pressure, especially a guy like Mike Zimmer will find ways to pressure the quarterback. But I do wonder, you know, what have you noticed about the Micah usage and where they're sort of aligning him?
He was – there was both – the majority of the times they were playing him as on the edge. There were only a couple of reps where he came through the middle. One of the blitzes that actually Zimmer today on his blitz package was safety blitz is what. So there were a couple different times where Wilson was coming on the safety blitz. And then one time he ran Micah through the B gap on a blitz, and that got home as well. So you're right. He can create ways of doing it, whether he takes it through the middle of the defense or takes it there off the edge. But the edge pressure today was more with the safety blitz, and then Micah Rush was on the outside. But then when they played him at linebacker, then it was that he was standing up in that kind of that A B gap, and then just went straight through the B gap. And they tried to the little running back for the Rams from the University of Michigan.
Oh, Blake Corum.
Blake Corum. Corum tried to pick him up, and that was no match right there.
Yeah, that's an unfair one. But I do think, I mean, that might be a talking point, is the lack of being able to just generate pressure
with four.
Rushing four. Because outside of Micah, I mean, Tank at times can get there, sure, but I don't think you've got anybody else that you really rely on, that you're feeling good about right now. You're probably going to be have to sending blitz packages with Kendricks and your safeties. I mean, Malik Hooker is not a guy we've talked about a lot, Brian. It seems like Malik Hooker is penciled in. That's your starting free safety, and then there's going to be a rotation next to him.
Yeah, Wilson was getting the primary work today. And we'll see what happens with Bell and others. If I could, I could update on the medical stuff.
Yeah.
If I could. Yeah. The thing that Overshown's dealing with was a hip bruise. That's from the games. That was something that slowed him down today. 60 was on a rep count. And so that means that Guyton, because he has not practiced for full days, so they had him on rep count today. So that's why he was not in there working at the end. And then you had the rotation of guys that really weren't getting the job done.
Well, that's overall good news, isn't it? I mean, you just get a hit pointer for Overshown, and Guyton's just kind of working his way back in. That was some anxious moments when you joined us at the top of the hour. Pretty good resolutions to it.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry about that. There was a lot going on when I was trying to talk. I know someone's getting these text messages about, oh, this is going on here and there. So hopefully I got that all squared away for everybody.
But you just want to reiterate that you're dunking all over the fans that think Guyton had a good day out there?
I'm just saying that, to me, I sat here and watched that practice, and I think that if you watch the early part of that practice, you would have some concerns. But offensive linemen, grade them for 65 plays. Don't just grade them for 5. But I'm just saying, though, there was some things early in that practice that when I was watching that portion and having to move over to the other field and stuff like that, I kind of felt like there was some concerns there. I'll catch the tape tonight, and we'll reevaluate it in the morning.
What do you think they're hoping to get out of Cole Cabral, who they've brought in there? Is that just a swing tackle, a camp body for depth?
Man, they're having depth problems right now. That's the biggest issue that they're struggling with. I think they're trying to avoid not to play Awesome Richards at tackle. I think that's what they're trying to avoid. I think they feel like that Awesome Richards is a better inside player. So I could see them trying to say, okay, let's look at the offensive tackles here and try and figure that out. But yeah, unfortunately they lost Bostic today. I don't know how severe that is. I'll follow back up with that. But they need some bodies out there at tackle.
Thanks, Krusty.
Thank you.
And thanks to Dallas College for sponsoring Brian's Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. A couple more in Oxnard still to go. All right, when we return, it's time for an edition of The Finest, right, Chief? Where are you taking it?
Believe it or not, I actually got a nice little Cowboys stat of the day for you. We also have the most interesting man in the league residing in this division. And what is a metaphor next in the nation?